couple weeks ago, it was actually Vocations Awareness Week, and it happened to be the same Sunday as Call to Share, so we didn't get to talk much about vocations. But today's second reading gives us kind of a great opportunity to talk a little bit about one of the more, perhaps less understood, parts of a religious vocation. St. Paul's second reading today is all about the call to the celibate, or unmarried life. I say there's a lot of confusion about this, because I go and I get to talk to our school kids, or even adults, and they often have questions like, "Father Sean, are you sad not to be married? Or is it hard not to be married? Or even, Father Sean, do you think the church will let you get married someday?" And those are all good questions, but they point to the fact that we don't really understand, I think, sometimes the religious and our pledge to God of celibacy. You know, St. Paul gives us one explanation for maybe why this call to celibacy in our second reading today. He's describing the fact that a married man is busy and divided trying to serve his wife and God, whereas an unmarried man can focus completely on God. And the same of an unmarried woman. She's worried about the things of God, whereas a married woman is divided between serving her husband and serving God. At least that's how Paul describes it. He says the married person is divided, whereas the person who is celibate is totally focused on God. Sometimes people then think that, well, the reason why priests are celibate is so that we can have the time to devote ourselves just completely to God. And I certainly do see the merit in that, because, you know, I'm not only the associate pastor here, but I'm the high school chaplain at Bishop Miege, and I'm chaplain for all the scouts in the archdiocese, and I think of all the things I do in a day, and I just feel like I'm going and coming, and even I have to stop and say, wait a minute, need to take time to pray, because you get so busy. I can't imagine adding a wife and kids to that as well. I think if I were married, my wife would hate me, and my parish would think, where's he at? He's never here. And I would indeed be divided. So there is a sort of wisdom there to say that the priesthood is a total gift of self, and you can only do that once. You can't be totally given in two different ways. Sadly, sometimes people think that the reason priests are celibate is because marriage isn't good, or that marriage is less good, or that marriage, sadly, would even be bad. Sometimes when you ask people, why are priests not married, they think, well, because sex and marriage and children, it's bad. And so the priest chooses something more holy. Nothing could be further from the truth there. The church tells us very beautifully that marriage is a sacrament. It's holy. Intimacy between husband and wife is sacred, not bad. In fact, we wouldn't be here without it. So it's definitely not that somehow marriage isn't holy, that priests would give it up. In fact, if marriage were bad, everybody should give it up. It's the fact that marriage is so good and so sacred that it makes it difficult and indeed a sacrifice for the celibate not to be married. They're sacrificing something good, something sacred and holy. So it is not that marriage is bad. But you know, neither of those two really hit the full truth of what the call to celibacy is about. It's not that marriage is bad, and it's not simply to give us more time. Rather, our first reading describes the role of a prophet. A prophet is the one who speaks the word of God. And in fact, sometimes the prophets bear witness to the word of God more by what they do than what they say. And in this way, the essence of the celibate vocation is to be a prophet in the world by our very life. And particularly, the prophecy of celibacy is meant to point us towards heaven. And here's why. As good as marriage is in this life, it's not the greatest good. Heaven is what we are all destined for. In fact, marriage and this life is a sign. A sign points us to something else. Marriage is meant to be a sign that tells us a little bit about what it will be like in heaven. You see, God knows that it's difficult for us to understand how much he loves us. But we can understand a little bit about the way we love our spouse. God tells us through the celibate person that love you have for your spouse, The love that God wants for you is even greater than that. Far beyond it, in fact. That's why Jesus says, in heaven there is no marriage. Because marriage points us to the love, the relationship we will all have with God in heaven. And when we're face to face with God in heaven, experiencing that love, we won't need the earthly sign of marriage anymore. Marriage is good, but it's a gift for this world. It builds up the world. It ensures the next generation. It says this world is good. It should go on. But ultimately, it points us towards heaven to say, even as good as this world is, it's passing away. Heaven lasts forever. The celibate, therefore, says, with our lives, that love that I have with God, that relationship is so real that it's even more real than earthly marriage. And it's the love that all of us will have one day in heaven. So the celibate is a prophet, speaking and pointing us towards heaven. Hopefully, if you see a priest or a religious, the religious dressed in their habit with their veil, that veil's meant to represent their wedding dress, that the religious woman is given totally to God in marriage. In fact, the celibate, we are married. We are enjoying now on earth, or at least pointing toward the heavenly marriage that we all will have with God one day. You know, sometimes people will come up to me, and I know they mean well, but they'll say something like, Father Sean, we think it's just awful that the church won't let you get married. We're praying that one day you'll be able to get married, and we just want you to know we're praying for you. I know those people mean well, but it kind of makes me sad, because it would be like if I were to come up to you who are married and say, you know, I think it's a real shame that society makes you only have one spouse. I'm hoping that someday you can add that second or third. Nobody would do that. That's crazy. I'm happily married to this person. I chose this one. I don't think I can handle more than one. And I'm happy, you know, like this. You know, it's the same with the celibate. Not many of you stood at the altar on your wedding day and were probably thinking, oh, woe is me. Think of all the people I am not marrying today. No, you don't do that because you're overjoyed to say, I found the one. This is the one that I'm going to give my whole life to. And you're overjoyed to make that gift of self. The truth is that the whole meaning of life is to be found in that sacrificial gift of self for another. And when you find that in marriage, you're not thinking about all the people you're not marrying or wishing you could have more. You know you found that pearl of great price. It's the same way for the celibate. Don't wish that I could be married. I am married and happily married. No one forced me to be celibate. Sometimes people think, oh, isn't it sad that we force our priests not to be married in order to be priests? I freely chose the celibate vocation. In fact, even apart from the priesthood, there are many people who are not priests who live as this prophetic sign of heaven. Think of all our religious sisters and brothers. I am overjoyed to be fully given to God. And I hope in a little way that my life points towards heaven. And I think more than ever in our day, we see how necessary this prophetic sign is. Our society today wants to tell us that the greatest good we can ever hope for is sex. Look at our TV, look at our advertisements, it's sex everywhere. And society says you can't live without it. This is what's most important. That's a lie. And the celibate is a prophetic sign that says, no, sex is good, it's holy, but it's not the greatest good. God is the greatest good. And without God, without that relationship, sex, family, children, nothing in this world makes sense without God. The celibate is there to be a little sign when you see them to say, there's a sign of heaven. You know, I used to think that being a priest would mean that I wouldn't have a family. Well, as soon as I became a priest, I became a high school chaplain and instantly had 750 high school kids. Try doing that. And not to mention all the kids at the parish and all of you, some of which are 70 years old. It's a little weird having kids that are older than me. And, you know, if you think, you know, dealing with your teenagers are different, just try to talk to somebody who's leaving Mass early sometimes. It's not easy being a parent. Sometimes kids don't like to listen to their parents. It is truly a fatherly role in the priesthood. And that ultimately means not one of authority, but one of life-giving. The priest becomes fruitful. We want to see our children grow, just like any father. And so I rejoice when I see all the good things going on at our parish and I see people growing in their faith. It makes me happy, just as any parent would rejoice in the growth of their family. So today, I ask you, don't be sorry for your priest or the celibate. We've got the most beautiful spouse we could ever desire. It's a free gift that we give, ultimately to God, but also for the church. Never feel sorry for that great gift. Rather, I thank you that all of you, through your marriages and families, are a sign of heaven and the goodness of this earth. I pray that through my own gift of the priesthood, that God would continue to make me fruitful as a father, and that I would be a good sign of heaven to all of you.